Yo, yo, what is going on, my fellow wrestling fans? Welcome to a brand new week, and welcome to a brand new edition of what we like to call the Clash of Champions, where we talk about the different personalities, storylines, controversies, and everything in between that center around this world we know and love as professional wrestling. I am your host, the vegan you believe in, Conscious Kurt, a.k.a. the professor in the flesh as always, and my co-host just turned 33 years old this past weekend, and he needs no introduction, but the hell with it, he's about to give y'all one anyway.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, this is tag team partner Jonathan Randall, the adventurer himself, and welcome to our podcast, our soap opera that we call professional wrestling. And that's right, I am blessed to see 33 years around the sun. And during that weekend, we also had Thanksgiving, and we also had a great Survivor Series event in Vancouver this past Saturday. But how was your Thanksgiving, Kurt?
My Thanksgiving was good. I went to my best friend's house and we both cooked Thanksgiving dinner together. And then his twin brother and one of our coworkers got off work early and they came to join us. We had dinner, drinks, we hung out. Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah, it was one of the better Thanksgivings I've had in a while.
That's what's up. That's good to hear.
Yeah, did that. And obviously we watched Survivor Series over the weekend. And while Survivor Series was a good show, I feel like in a way it might have been topped by the Raw we saw the following Monday, which we'll get into.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think, I mean, this was the last PLE for 2024, though. But we still have like another upcoming show that's going to end the year later this month. That later this month, that will be Saturday night's main event. But before
which I'm more than likely be going to.
Yeah. But before we get into that, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, because today is our recap show. As always, we always recap what happened from past week and from a PLE. And that's right, we're going to recap from a monumental Survivor Series.
Yes, and the way this show opened was predictably so with the Women's War Games match, as we had Team Rhea consisting of Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Bayley, Naomi, and Io Sky against Team Liv, consisting of Women's World Champion Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Women's Champion Nia Jax, Candice LeRae, and Tiffany Stratton.
It was a pretty decent match. What do you thought about it, Kurt? The spots, look, most, you know, the spots from Io Sky, I mean, we've seen this time and time again. You know, she's a veteran in these war game matches.
Yeah, she's been in every single women's war games match there's been in WWE. From 2019, yeah. She's been in every single one.
Yeah, she's a veteran. And, you know, her jumping from using that trash can to do a moonsault, That takes a lot of courage to do that. But
that's madness, son. Because she's done that spot before in the War Games match, but she never did a moonsault with the trash can.
I thought she was going to just do like a, yeah, I was expecting her just to do like a, you know, like a normal, like, you know, drop. But no, she did a moonsault, man. That was pretty damn impressive to see that.
Yeah, while she did that on one side, Tiffany Stratton did a swanton on the other side of the cage.
Yeah. I like that.
It's crazy how she waited. Yeah, it's crazy how Tiffany Stratton waited until Io Sky did hers to do hers.
Yeah. Kind of a little bit at the same time, though, but she did it after, though. But yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Out of all the women's War Games matches I've seen in WWE, this one was my least favorite.
I tell you what, for one thing. So, again, you know, Rhea Ripley was in this match, and I've said this before, I was literally getting Undertaker 1995 vibes from the Survivor Series from that year because she had a mask on, you know, to protect her orbital bone. But man, it was a different type of mask she had on. She had like a demon-esque type, you know, very, you know, scary mask, you know, as she was rocking that night.
Yeah, that's some merchandising gold right there. She could make a killing off of those masks.
Kind of like, and people, and I found out the people who made that mask, those are the same people who made the mask for the Fiend.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, very impressive.
But getting back into the match, there was one point where Liv Morgan was actually the last person to come into the ring, and she seemed like she was avoiding the match, but what she was really doing was getting a baseball bat. But yeah. Rhea Ripley did not care. Rhea Ripley was waiting for her in that cage, and then Rhea Ripley attacked her, but as she was trying to hit her with the Riptide, she was interrupted. And then all the other girls on Liv's team held Rhea as Liv just hit her with the baseball bat in the gut multiple times. And that was pretty much a story throughout the match where Rhea was constantly trying to get her hands on Liv, but it kept getting interrupted. It kept getting, you know, sidetracked. And then there was one point eventually where after Tiffany Stratton did that leap, she looked into the trash can and found the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, and we both thought, you said this last week, Kurt, you thought that Tiffany Stratton may cash in. And, you know, when she brought the briefcase out of the trash can, I was like, oh my God, like,
yeah, she was,
she's really going to do it.
Yeah, she had the briefcase out. She was looking at Nia Jax and Liv Morgan, who were both down, and she was kind of debating which one she was going to cash in on. But then Raquel Rodriguez interrupted and, like, was like trying to stop her and like talk her out of it, saying like, yo, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing? But then this was ultimately interrupted by Io Sky as she sprayed both of them with a fire extinguisher.
You know, one of the things I like about that sequence, because Io Sky was, you know, she was spraying everybody with a fire extinguisher. We didn't catch right after she was done. Next thing you know, we see Raquel Rodriguez handcuffed to the top rope.
Yes, that did happen.
It came out of nowhere. Like, I love how, like, you can't see anything. And then once the, you know, the smoke disappeared, like, all of a sudden you see Raquel Rodriguez handcuffed. I like that sequence.
Yes, and then it went to the point where Liv Morgan was going to try to put Rhea Ripley through the table off the top rope, but then Rhea Ripley climbed up and caught up with her. And then Rhea Ripley proceeded to hit Liv Morgan with a Riptide off the top rope through the table down below to get the pin and the win for Team Rhea, which I predicted.
Yep. And it was good for Rhea Ripley, you know, to get that pin over Liv Morgan. So, you know, moving forward, what's going to eventually going to be like? Them two are going to probably be most likely going to go at it. Not quite, which we'll get into later. But this was good for your Ripley to get that momentum over Liv Morgan for the first time.
Yeah, that was the ultimate story of this match. That's probably the only reason why this is a War Games match in the first place. But yeah, like I predicted, Team Rhea did win. I did like how they celebrated, how they all climbed up at the top of the cage at the end. And I also like the fact that Naomi was wearing a birthday hat because it was her birthday.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that. And I think the crowd was chanting happy birthday to her.
Yes, they were chanting happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. But look, this match was fine. Like I said, this is my least favorite women's War Games match I've seen in WWE. It started off that first half, it was kind of slow and not really much going on. But then it picked up more towards the end when Rhea and Liv got in there. That started to get better towards that point. But yo, everybody has been tearing this match apart. They've been criticizing on this match in a way I've never seen them shit on like any women's match in recent memory, especially Nia Jax. They've been really coming for Nia Jax hard.
I don't know. That was, and I forget to mention that. I don't know what was the whole hate on it. I mean, I thought she did a pretty decent job. She was the first one in the match. She was the first one in. Thing.
That was the first mistake, was the fact that they put her in first. And also, and there were certain spots where she was hitting Naomi and Bayley with the chair, and she didn't really hit them with like full force. You could like tell like she barely like even tapped them. So I think like a lot of the criticism probably came from that. And look, like I said, overall, the match itself was just fine. It wasn't my favorite by any stretch. But as far as her performance goes, I think people are like really exaggerating and being too hard on her. Granted, those spots did not look good. Admittedly, so those spots did not look good after going back and watching it. But some people are just taking it too far where they're saying, fuck you, Nia Jax, you suck. Go back to training. This is a disgrace. You should be embarrassed. All of you should be embarrassed for the match you put on. This is horrible, horrible. Yeah, like that kind of energy is really taking it too far.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, look, to me, I think she did a decent job. You know, she was the first one in that match. She was able to hold her own. And look, I guess, you know, looking at some of the spots were a little bit off, though. But I got to remember that maybe she was being a little bit careful in this match, because we got to remember, you know, of the what kind of reputation that she had in her ring. She was a little bit dangerous in her ring, you know, in the past. So I think that's part of it. But for people to run their mouths and, you know, say those things about her, like, again, you're being stupid for saying that.
Yeah.
for one, you're not trained or anything or in the ring, or you know what it's like to be a wrestler to make that comment. So again, you have anything nice, just don't say nothing at all. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, this one dude literally put up a post with like a garbage can saying, "This is what I thought of Nia Jax in that match." And Nia Jax actually came back at that person. She came back saying, "When you try to entertain people and put your life on the line for this business, then you can talk and say something."
Thank you. Thank you.
But like I said, I'll be honest, the match itself, I wasn't crazy about like I was the past Women's War Games matches. In many ways, it maybe didn't need to be a War Games match. It could have just been a regular Survivor Series elimination match. But it was what it was. It had its moments. And overall, the outcome, like I predicted, happened. And this sets things up for Rhea and Liv probably within the next month or so. I feel like since Rhea's back so soon, stretching this into WrestleMania might be pushing it. So I see.
Yeah, I see Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble the latest, but even they could do it on the Raw first episode on Netflix on January 6th.
Oh, true, true. That's good. That's good. But yeah, I think stretching it to WrestleMania is a bit, it's too long. Because again, we weren't expecting her to come back this soon. If she did not come back, then I would have been okay with them having the match at WrestleMania. But the fact that she came back unexpectedly like that, yeah, having that match at WrestleMania, that's stretching it way too far.
Although it's been like a long feud, one of the best feuds of the year. And I feel like with the work that Morgan's done this year, she deserves a marquee match at WrestleMania. But I feel like with this feud, it might be pushing it if they stretch it out that long. And overall, the biggest criticism I saw for the Women's War Games match was the fact that a lot of the women seemed like they were afraid to hurt each other.
I mean, look, they want to be careful, though. But I mean, I don't know. It's just, hey, that's the match that they're in, you know. And look, as far as Liv Morgan, before we move on to the next match, we're in the last month of the year. I just want to go on a record and say I choose Liv Morgan as the best women's wrestler of the year.
No debate about it. She's been the most consistent, the best character, been in the best feud. Yeah, she's done work this year. She definitely deserves all those flowers.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But yes,
Team Rhea won Women's War Games, and let's move on to the next match. For the United States title, we had LA Knight, the megastar, the superstar, defending his title against the newly reformed and newly packaged Shinsuke Nakamura.
And I want to say, again, just for the record, I love Shinsuke Nakamura's new theme song. It was very catchy and dark. I loved it. I was like, ooh, this is a very catchy theme. Every once in a while, you know, I noticed that, you know, she's always, you know, he's always changing his theme song every once in a while. But this one right here, I loved it. Loved it. And as far as the match goes, I thought it was a decent match, but damn it, I did not expect the unexpected, because we have a new U.S. champion, and how the way, you know, it turned out, because, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, pretty much had that head backdrop outside of the ring where the metal is between the two rings. And then after that, then he hits LA Knight with the
Kinshasa,
thank you, to get the 1-2-3. And I did not expect that. I picked LA Knight. We both picked LA Knight to win this match. But look, despite him losing that match, I'm very happy for Shinsuke Nakamura winning that match, because look, let's be real. Every time when he makes a return, or if he's in a good storyline, kind of gets buried. He doesn't, you know, win in that feud or in that storyline. But he finally overcome, and he's finally, you know, get the win and win a championship. That's his third time winning that U.S. title, and I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, it made sense considering that he just debuted this new look and this new version of himself just like 2 weeks ago. So in that sense, it made sense for him to win, because it would be kind of dumb for him to come back as this new version of himself just to lose. So
just to get buried like that, I'm tired of it, man.
But you just expect it because that's just the way he's been treated for so many years. Even though last year he was feuding with Seth Rollins for the title, and he also feuded with Cody Rhodes, he lost all of those matches.
Yeah, that was somewhat expected because it's the world championship, you know what I mean? But it was like, when I saw this one, it was kind of like, okay, I'm happy for him, but you know what's going to happen, just like the last time. But no, it didn't happen. They have confidence in him, and they're given an opportunity, and I love it. And look, I'm, you know, happy for LA Knight. I've said this on our Twitter page that, yeah, he'll get the title back. But he had a good reign with it, and he did a very good job with the title. But, man, Shinsuke really needed this, and he deserved it, and I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, I see them doing a rematch, probably, if not at Saturday night's main event, maybe like sometime in January, like maybe the first SmackDown of the new year, possibly. But I feel like even though Nakamura got the U.S. title, which is great and all, it's not going to be a long title reign.
I mean, we'll see what happens, though. But I'm at look, for this moment, I'm happy for him. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it's like, great. I'm not hating on it.
Yeah, he deserves it, man. And there's just times where I thought, like, man, like, he was going to get released and
he's not
being used well.
I was even saying that a few weeks ago. That there was stuff floating around that there was going to be a next round of releases and he was going to be a part of it. But looks like those rumors were dead false.
I know. And I'm happy for him. He has a damn good resume when you really think about it. You know, 2018 Royal Rumble winner. He's a two-time NXT world champion, you know.
Intercontinental champion multiple times, too.
Intercontinental champion. You know, now he's a three-time U.S. champion. So, yeah, he has a very good resume.
Yes, indeed he does. And he can add this to the list, too, being the new United States champion. And we will see where this feud goes from here because this is not over.
No, of course not.
But moving into probably the best match of the night up until this point, we had the triple threat for the Intercontinental title between Bron Breakker, Sheamus, and Ludwig Kaiser.
Oh, man, this was a good match. And I remember you telling me this is one of your...
This guy's...
Yeah, you were saying how this was one of your favorite matches outside the men's War Games match. And, man, this match really delivered, especially towards the end. Oh, man, it looked like Sheamus was going to get that win. And then out of nowhere, I love how Luke Kaiser literally just took the referee. He distracted. He stopped the three count. And it looked like when we thought Sheamus was going to win and Luke Kaiser does his finisher on Sheamus. And then out of nowhere, he gets speared. Then spears Sheamus to get the win. But overall, You know, you've been saying how Bron Breakker looked like he's getting a baby face reaction, and he kind of has. It's just the appreciation from the fans, though. I feel like he's still better as a heel, but at the same time, I love the appreciation he's getting from the fans, though.
Yeah, he's kind of like in a tweener role right now where, like, he's not really a babyface, but the fans kind of react to him that way. And, yo, this match was hard-hitting. There was that one spot where Bron Breakker clotheslined Sheamus and Kaiser like from the apron over the announce table. Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
And then there was that other spot where like Kaiser was like standing against the railing and thought like, you know, he had the match won. And all of a sudden like Sheamus just like rises up right behind him.
Oh, yeah. From behind. And yeah.
The memes for that ever since have been fucking hilarious.
I saw that one, the one where it's December 1st
and Mariah
Sheamus is Mariah Carey. Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, shit.
Funny.
Yeah, and then there was that point where Sheamus had the match one with the bro kick, but then Kaiser pulled the referee out of the ring, and then he beat the hell out of Sheamus with the shillelagh, and apparently he cracked Sheamus's ribs with those shots.
Ooh.
Yeah, Sheamus wasn't at Raw Monday, and then Kaiser like mentioned that.
Wow.
Damn, but Bron Breakker retains. Didn't see it going any other way, but still a great match between the three of them. Hope they can have like more matches between the three of them involved for the IC title in the coming months. But fingers crossed, going into WrestleMania season, they tell that story of Sheamus never winning the Intercontinental title, and he finally gets it done there.
You know, the more that I think about it, and you know, especially watching that match, because you know, you thought that Sheamus was going to win, and you know how much the crowd was behind him. you know, to see that moment. Now I'm kind of like pulling more behind him to get that title on his resume now, hopefully for WrestleMania now. It's making more, I'm feeling it now a little bit more now, you know what I mean, watching that match. Because look, he has a good resume. You know, he's done it all. He's won a Royal Rumble. He's even won a world title at WrestleMania. You know, Money in the Bank winner, King of the Ring, won all these titles except that prestigious Intercontinental title. So, yeah, I would love, you know, hopefully for WrestleMania next year, I would love to see him win it, hopefully.
Yeah, that's a story handed to them literally on a silver platter, and it would be dumb not to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, we had Bron Breakker retain the Intercontinental title in a great triple threat match. And yeah, I can't wait to see the work between the three of these men in the coming months, because if we can get more matches like this on Raw every weekend at the PLEs, everybody wins.
And not only that, you know, with Raw moving to Netflix, you know, less than a month, this is going to do good for Raw.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, Let's move on to our next match for the World Heavyweight title. We had a rematch from SummerSlam. And the very first time ever the same title match from SummerSlam took place at Survivor Series in the same year. We had Gunther defending the world title against the man he took it from, Damian Priest.
I loved how this match started. It started like mat wrestling and grappling, and I love that. Very old school, taking your time with each other, you know, feeling each other out, even though this is the second time they've been in a ring with each other, right? But yeah, they took their time with each other, and it built up the longer the match went, and I love that. The one story of that match, it was Damian Priest's shoulder. You know, Gunther was going after it. I love that psychology of the match as well. There are certain times where, you know, Damian Priest was trying to hit an offensive move, but he couldn't because of his shoulder. But I did not expect the outcome in the end. I knew Gunther was going to win, but not in this fashion, man. I kind of like, dude, not again.
I kind of expected it, so.
Oh, not again. Not in that way, though. Just not the second time, man.
So basically what my podcast partner is talking about is that there came one point in the match where Gunther got knocked down off the top rope, and then Damian Priest fell off the top rope onto the floor. And as he was down and the referee was distracted, Finn Balor's ass shows up out of nowhere and hits the coup de grace on Priest as he's down on the floor. And then Gunther sees this, and Gunther is pissed off because he wanted to prove that he could win the match on his own. So what did he do? He gave Finn Balor a big boot to the face, knocking his ass down on the ground. And then he proceeded to take advantage of Priest, hit him with the powerbomb, put his ass in the sleeper. And Priest, unfortunately, could not respond, so the referee stopped the match, which means Gunther retained the title.
We literally, two things. We literally just got the same ending from SummerSlam, man. And somewhat, just it was something somewhat. Well, because, yeah, well, I mean, because Finn Balor interfered and cost Damian Priest the match.
But then Gunther beat up Balor. That didn't happen at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I know that. But, I mean, could you blame Gunther for it? It's a pride thing because Michael Cole even said this in the beginning of the match. Gunther has not been the same since he lost to Cody Rhodes at Crown Jewel. So a little bit of it's like a confidence thing has been, you know, been shifted ever since then. You know what I mean? So to see Finn Balor interfere in his own match, that kind of like, no, dude, I want to take, you know, I want to be the one that wants to, you know, be responsible getting this win, not you. So I don't blame him for doing what he did to Finn Balor. But then again, look, this is the second time this has happened, man. And Finn Balor interferes, and it goes to show you that this feud between Finn Balor and Damian Priest is not over, unfortunately, because, look, we saw that match at Bad Blood between them, and it really didn't go the way we expected.
Yeah, it was a basic TV match, and Damian Priest just beat him like that, and then they haven't interacted on TV with each other at all since.
Yeah, I really thought we both thought it was over, and we were going to move forward from this, and we both thought we were going to get an actual clean finish. But no, we didn't get that.
No, we did not. But one thing I do smell coming out of this is a triple threat match.
Yeah.
That's what when, I saw.
I don't know, maybe the Royal Rumble, because apparently another match was made later this month, which we'll get into later.
Yes, there were two matches made official for Saturday night's main event, but we'll get into that after our Survivor Series review. But yes, Gunther did retain the title. I mean, look, the outcome I wasn't too crazy about on paper because it's the same outcome we got at SummerSlam. But with Gunther now being pissed at Finn Balor and now it being more of a three-way as opposed to just
makes Balor it interesting
and East feuding with each other, that kind of spices it up. So that part yeah. I like.
Makes it interesting, yeah. I like it.
Worked out the way it was supposed to. The match was fine. Personally, I preferred the match at SummerSlam, but it delivered and accomplished what it needed to.
Okay. Gotta watch that match again. As a matter of fact,
that was the best this month. I think as a match from start to finish, that was the best match at SummerSlam.
Okay. I think that, because I even said this earlier, I think later this month I said I was going to watch all the PLEs from this year and go back and reflect on it, because I don't think I've ever done that before, but maybe it's been a long time though. But yeah, because I really enjoyed this year.
Yeah, we had a lot of great PLEs. I mean, Royal Rumble was dope. Elimination Chamber was good. WrestleMania was incredible, especially the second night. Backlash was a fun show. King and Queen of the Ring was cool. Clash of the Castle was good. Money in the Bank was good. SummerSlam was also great. I would say the weakest shows this year were probably Bash in Berlin and Crown Jewel. Those are the two weakest shows this year.
Yeah, okay.
Also, Bad Blood, although the main event and the Hell in a Cell were great, the rest of the show was just whatever.
Okay, but yeah, I think I would like to. I definitely want to rewatch most of the PLEs from this year. So,
yes, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah. I think I'll get on that too. Yeah. But we have the main events, the men's War Games match, consisting of Team Roman, of Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and CM Punk, against Team Solo, consisting of Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Big Bronson Reed.
Wow.
I love you, my tribal chief. I love you. I love you.
I like how Jacob Fatu, he was in his cage and he was in that stance like the whole time, like, bro. But one thing I loved, when CM Punk, when he came out of the entrance, he just literally just started antagonizing everybody. I thought it was so funny when he did that.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
This match was dope. But one thing I noticed in the early part of the match, actually, I didn't even mention this in the women's War Games match, but I wanted to mention it now. One thing I noticed about these damn War Games matches is every time somebody new comes into the match, instead of going right into the ring, they go under the ring to pull out some kind of weapon or like a table or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much every single last woman in the women's War Games match did that.
Yeah. They even, one of them took a cover from the toilet seat.
Yeah, they did do that. And then I think Naomi put it on top of Nia Jax's head and gave her a stink face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shades of her father-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in this match, the one part I did like was when Jimmy Uso came into the match. Instead of grabbing a weapon or whatever, he went right into the match to help his brother Jay.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, that's exactly what you should be doing. Like, when you see one of your team members getting beat up, you're just going to, like, wait, like, an extra few seconds just to grab a weapon, or you're going to go and actually help them.
Yeah, just go in there and help them. But I think one of the biggest, the biggest takeaways from this match was the tension between Roman Reigns and CM Punk.
Oh, yes. There was one point where CM Punk was about to go into the match next, but then Roman stopped him and then told Sami Zayn to go in instead. And then there was another point a few minutes later where Roman was going to go into the match, but then Punk just bumped into him and then just went into the match himself.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, they were really teasing between the two of them throughout the match.
I'm sorry. Once everybody got in the ring, again, still tension between Roman and CM Punk. Look like they're about to get to argument. And out of nowhere, here comes Paul Heyman trying to, like, literally try to calm everything down.
But before that happened, there was this one crazy spot where Punk did a bulldog onto Jacob Fatu on the
tour. Oh.
And then Jacob Fatu just got right back up and hit him with a Samoan drop.
Oh, my God. Crazy and scary.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. I loved it, but damn, that was so crazy and scary. That was just like, oh my God, like that, no wonder he's called the Samoan werewolf for, it don't call him a Samoan werewolf for no reason, man. That was just like, oh my God, man, like you can't stop this guy.
No, you cannot. There was one point where Roman was attempting a spear on Solo Sikoa, and then he moved out of the way, and then he hit CM Punk with a spear by mistake as he was attempting to go to sleep. That did not look good. Yeah, it did not look good for their relationship by any stretch.
No, no.
But then there came a point where Bronson Reed was going to splash Roman Reigns off the top of the cage through the table. But then CM Punk moved Roman out of the way before Bronson Reed could go through the table. And then Bronson Reed crashed through it himself, which unfortunately, from what came out, led to an ankle injury for him. And he wasn't even on Raw Monday. So
yeah,
from how it's sounding now, he might be out for a while.
Damn, man. But I tell you what, though, from that sequence with CM Punk, yeah, I know, when CM Punk saved Roman from that splash, I'm going to tell you what, that was literally the turning point of that match, because Roman Reigns literally now saw CM Punk differently in a positive way this time.
Yeah, that was the turning point for them, where like Roman helped Punk up and they battled off the rest of the Dollar Tree bloodline. And there was even one point where Jacob Fatu got splashed by Jimmy Uso off the top of the cage through the table. Yo, that was great. And then that basically took out Jacob Fatu, and that left Solo Sikoa all by himself against all five members of Roman's team.
Surrounded.
All came down to this.
Right.
All the months of torture, all the months of torment, beating up Paul Heyman, torturing Roman, torturing all the other members of the team throughout these months with his new version of the bloodline, and he was all by himself against all of them. But to his credit, he went out swinging as he attempted a Samoan spike. He got kicked in the face by Jimmy and Jey Uso, then got hit with a Huluva kick by Sami Zayn, then got hit with the go to sleep from CM Punk, and that would allow Roman Reigns to finish him off with a spear, get the pin, and get the win for Team Roman.
Great match.
Great match. I agree.
Great match. Everybody hugged it out. And then finally, CM Punk and Roman Reigns looked at each other and they respectfully gave themselves a handshake.
Yeah, and they all put up their ones in the air, but CM Punk just did the go to sleep sign instead. I guess that's the closest we'll get to like a unified front with him with doing that. But it was cool to see regardless. Yeah, that image at the end of Survivor Series of all five of them standing tall was a great one. Yeah, it was a great way to
You could
end
say
the
show. That one and the one
it's one of the best.
Yeah, that one and the, you know, the first time they did it on SmackDown prior was that, you could say that's one of the best images of the year, hands down.
After the match was over, Heyman was waiting outside of the cage, and then him and CM Punk hugged, and CM Punk told him, "When I'm ready for that favor, I'll come calling for it."
Man, but what favor is he talking about? We'll find out you know, the following Monday on Raw, which we'll get into later, though. But yeah,
you notice that Roman didn't hug. You notice that Roman didn't hug Heyman. He just like kind of tapped him on his face.
I don't know. I thought it was on his shoulder.
He kind of like just touched his face briefly, but he didn't hug him. That was kind of.
I was, you know, whatever. Because look, they have that relationship already. I guess I don't know, but. You picked Solo's team to win at first.
I did. I thought Seth Rollins would probably interfere because of, you know, Punk joining the team. And then also I thought maybe Heyman would turn on them, but no, none of that happened. The best way people describe this Survivor Series was WWE playing it safe.
Yeah, and look, I picked Roman's team from the get-go because, look, at this storyline, which kind of like involves Roman and Solo, right? It needed to end. It's like, if you're going to, like, if what you were saying was going to happen, when was it going to end? You can't continue the storyline going into the next year and you have the Royal Rumble and everybody literally has their sights set on winning it. You got to move all that stuff that you have in the past, put it in the past, move on, end those feuds.
I don't think this thing is over yet, because Roman still didn't get back to Ulafala.
And which, that's another thing I was going to get into. So What I'm predicting is that after what happened at Survivor Series, right? Either we're gonna have ourselves an actual formal Tribal Chief ceremony where Solo Sikoa has to acknowledge Roman Reigns as the Tribal Chief in return that you will follow. That's probably going to happen. Chaos is going to ensue. And I'm predicting that if it doesn't happen, then Roman and Solo will fight for it on Saturday night's main event, maybe.
I see that happening. I see them having one last match between them, and then Roman finally beats him, gets the Will of Fala back. And that could possibly lead to the other members of Solo's bloodline turning on him.
On who?
On Solo.
Oh.
Because he's lost so much. He lost at SummerSlam. He lost a rematch to Cody in the cage. He got pinned by Roman in Bad Blood, and he lost War Games. If he loses this match too, what the hell else can they do with him far as like this character?
Exactly. So, yeah, that's what I see this upcoming Friday on SmackDown, though. They're going to, play it off as having like a formal, Tribal Chief ceremony where Solo's going to anoint him, and it's probably not going to go as planned, and then they're probably going to schedule a match between the two for that Ula Fala to be the actual Tribal Chief on Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, it could definitely happen. We'll see what happens Friday on SmackDown. But yes, overall, I think it was a good Survivor Series. The men's War Games match and the triple threat for the Intercontinental title, I think, were the two best parts of the show. And there weren't like any crazy swerves or crazy surprises like I maybe thought there would be. But overall, I would say the show was good. I can't call it a bad show or a shitty show. That's not accurate. I think overall the show was good, and it set things up great for what we would see on Raw Monday, which we'll get into in a minute. Overall, like I said, good show. I don't think it was as good as last year's, considering the Punk return and the quality of the War Games matches we got last year. But overall, I think the show was good, and it delivered in the way it needed to. But now with Survivor Series in the rear view, we now have WrestleMania season on the horizon.
I'm going to tell you what, as far as the surprises goes for the Survivor Series, I like the event. It was a pretty decent event and, a good way to end the year as far as the PLE is concerned. But as far as surprises, there were a couple of surprises that I liked. The fact that Shinsuke Nakamura won the U.S. title unexpectedly like that was a surprise for me. And also the interference of Finn Balor. Wasn't expecting that, where I thought the feud between Finn and Damian Priest was over. So those were my two surprises. For a scale 1 to 10, I'll give this event...
I'll give it a 7. Personally, I'll give it a 7, 7.5.
I'll give it an 8.
Okay.
8.5. 8.5, 8.5 out of 10.
Fair enough. But like I said, good Survivor Series. I don't think it was as strong as last year's show or the year before show. But overall, it accomplished what it needed to. Oh, one more thing before we move on. It came out that this Survivor Series was the highest grossing arena show ever for WWE in Canada.
Yeah, I heard about that too. Yep.
And it was crazy. I didn't realize that was the first PLE WWE had in Vancouver since Rock Bottom 98.
Yeah.
Crazy it's been that long.
I was like, I was fooling myself. I was like, I know they had another PLE event since then, but no, they haven't. They're right.
One thing the show got some criticism for was actually kind of like the lack of enthusiasm from the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, because compared to like, Toronto and Montreal, they weren't like that lit.
Yeah, that is true.
Or Calgary, Canadian Stampede.
Yeah.
Yeah, but overall, like I said, good Survivor Series accomplished what it needed to. But now with that in the rear view, we had Raw this past Monday. And holy shit, did a lot go down on this show. People are calling this one of the best Raws of the entire year.
Oh, I agree.
And in my opinion, probably the best post-Survivor Series Raw since the Raw after the invasion in 2001.
I agree, because it started off crazy, and we're kind of like, all right, we're now starting to see what is 2025 going to look like, Kurt.
Yes, and the way the show opened was with CM Punk coming out And he was coming out to kind of explain what his next move was going to be, what his next goal was going to be. And he got on the second rope and pointed to like an imaginary sign. And then it kind of, you could kind of get the idea of what he was trying to point to, even though that sign isn't up yet. But as he was further elaborating into that, Seth freaking Rollins came out to interrupt.
Pretty much telling him like, hey, one of the things that really just like, oh my God, like was an oh my God moment, what he said to Punk exactly was, I regret not putting you out when you first came here. That was like, oh shoot.
Yeah, he said that in like the last year, so many things have gotten in the way between us and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. And even after Bad Blood, I took pity on you because you just came through Hell in a Cell. But now it's time for me to make up for those regrets and it's time for me to knock CM Punk on his ass right here tonight.
And boy,
ooh, Rollins was hot. Rollins was
Punk
hot.
Punk was hot son. Too, and they finally went at it.
But before they went at it, though, Punk basically said that you talk too much and you don't listen. Like 6 months ago, you were the champion and you had something I wanted. But now, you got nothing. And then, yeah, the funniest part was when he said, for the last 6 months, you say you've been thinking about me. I don't think about you at all.
Yeah. I was just getting ready to say that. I thought it was like the funniest Ooh. Thing he ever said, though. Just a clap back at him like that, though. But yeah, they after that, they literally went at it. We had a brawl and...
Yeah, Rollins like shoved Punk down and Punk kind of like looked surprised that he did that. And then Punk got right back up and squared up with him. And then they started fighting each other. They got down on the floor. It only lasted really a few seconds until Sami Zayn and Jey Uso came to break it up. They separated them and then they kind of started brawling a little bit more as Punk was outside the ring. But then Rollins kicked him and then Jey Uso held back Punk and took him to the back. And then Rollins was on the mic and just saying like, yeah, go away, go away. And Jay, you can leave too. Go back and hang out with Roman. And then I got Sami Zayn involved saying, and like Sami Zayn was like saying, yo, what the hell, man? That's not cool. Leave Jey Uso alone. He didn't do nothing wrong. And he's like, you know what? You're right. Jey Uso, I shouldn't have said that about you. I can understand you being on Roman's team because you're family with Roman. But Sami, what's your excuse?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I loved about this whole scenario is how the segment was between Seth and Punk, and then it transitioned surprisingly to Sammy, which we did not expect that.
I knew Rollins was going to be pissed at the fact that Punk was on Roman's team, and yeah, he basically let that all out, saying that this is going to put Roman back in power. I can't believe you guys did this. And Sammy just alliterated saying, I didn't pick Punk to be our partner. We picked you. I asked you twice and you said no. It wasn't my idea for Punk to be on the team, but we had no other choice.
Yeah, you're pretty much calling him like you're being stubborn.
Yeah, and he told him that like, yo, you want to talk about making Roman powerful and making Roman a monster? You made Roman that monster when you hit him in the back. 10 years ago.
That was that oh my God moment. Like, oh my, like he's speaking facts. Dude, Roman and Dean Ambrose. Dude, they have not been the same ever since that moment, man. I can't believe it's been 10 years ago. And it's crazy how that situation has really affected all three of them, because you remember what happened at the end of WrestleMania 40, Kurt, of night two? All goes back to that moment 10 years ago. I think that chair shot will go down as one of the greatest, most heartbreaking betrayals in WWE history. But what Sami Zayn said to Seth Rollins, he's speaking facts. No lies told here, man.
Yeah, and Rollins brought up the fact that Sami Zayn actually did the exact same thing, if you remember the 2023 Royal Rumble. And it got heated to the point where they both agreed to face each other later that night in a match.
And that's one of the things I loved. It was very unpredictable because I did not expect, oh my God, to, I'm going to have an altercation between Punk and Rollins. And then next thing you know, it transitioned to Sami Zayn getting involved. That was unpredictable. This is stuff that we saw growing up, like the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression Era, where we'll see something and it is something unexpected will just make a, you know, like make a switch and like, oh, what's this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, we had like one heated segment between Punk and Rollins, and then another heated segment between Rollins and Sami Zayn, which would set up their match for Raw later that night. But before the match, Jey Uso was found attacked backstage by a mystery attacker, and Sami Zayn, from the moment that attack happened, suspected that it was Seth Rollins who did it. So we have the match in the main event. Sami's constantly accusing Rollins of being the one who attacked Jey Uso, and Rollins is denying it. And then there's this one point where Sami Zayn allows himself to get distracted, and that would allow Rollins to take advantage with a small package and get the win. And as Rollins is leaving the ring, Sami's still accusing him. And then as he turns around, he gets laid out with a Claymore kick by somebody with a hoodie. And that person under the hoodie turned out to be a returning Drew McIntyre.
Unexpected.
Shit.
Man, and I think all fingers should point at him as the number one suspect that took out Jey Uso.
It could be him, or it could have been Kevin Owens.
That's weird, though. And you show up on Raw if he did that, and here you are, you know, you have a title match coming up with Cody Rhodes.
Kevin Owens has no love lost with Roman either, and that's what he was talking about in the Cody about how he couldn't understand why he teamed with Roman after everything they went through to try to take him down. A motive for Kevin Owens to commit the attack.
But I tell you what, though, after learning from that night, you know, from what happened, I do know one thing. Seth Rollins is turning heel going into 2025. It may be this month, depending on what happens, but if not, definitely when the new year starts, yeah, he's turning heel.
Oh yeah, it's happening. I've been calling this for like the last 2 months, but within the next month or so, it's happening. There's no question about it.
Oh yeah.
I knew that Punk joining the team for Roman was going to set him off, and lo and behold, it did.
Yeah, just like how it set off Kevin Owens when Cody was aligning himself with Roman. So, yeah, a lot of crazy things going on, man. And
the main thing people are saying about both Rollins and Kevin Owens is that they have every right to be pissed off the way they are.
Oh. Yeah, but after what Sami Zayn said, I mean, come on.
I think there's more of a case for Owens than for Rollins, but...
I agree with that. There's more of a case for Owens, though. Rollins is like, bro, come on. You shouldn't really be talking about, you know, being mad at anybody because, look, I know it's been 10 years, though, but you did turn your back on the Shield. So, yeah.
So we're definitely getting Punk and Rollins at WrestleMania. I'm not sure if it's going to be for the title or not, because I definitely see Punk going after the title between now and Royal Rumble time. I definitely see him in a match with Gunther maybe there.
You know what? I think I know what's going to happen as far as the favors. I think one of those favors was for him to get a title shot, right? If that does happen, Rollins is going to interfere. He's going to cost Punk that match, which could eventually set up the match between them at Mania.
I see that happening. As far as Drew McIntyre goes, I see him in a feud with Sami Zayn and Jey Uso at one point or another. But one thing I heard about McIntyre was he was going to eventually have a feud going into next year with Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett's apparently going to come out of retirement and feud with him.
Really?
Yeah, I heard that story a few weeks ago. I mean, whether or not it happens, that remains to be seen. But I did see that floating around, so it's a possibility.
Okay.
But we still have a few months till that all that goes down. But yes, we definitely get Punk and Rollins at WrestleMania. And I like how they set everything up with all of this on Raw. But as great as all of this was, the best part of Raw took place in the middle of the show as we had the New Day's 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, and...
Oh, shit. Talk about unexpected.
Unexpected. Yeah, and it was a reunion because, hey, you can't have a New Day anniversary celebration, not just with Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, but also with Big E.
Yeah, I knew he was going to be a part of it in one way or another. Yeah. You know, they didn't advertise him for it. And even during the promo with Kofi and Xavier, they were saying, like, yeah, we miss him too, as like the crowd was chanting for him. I knew he was going to show up. There was no way he couldn't be there.
Come on, you can't miss that. Come on now. That's like That's like if, you know, the Bulls had their one of their championship reunions and, you know, Phil Jackson or Michael Jordan doesn't show up. You know what I mean?
Probably didn't pay him enough.
He has enough who? Jordan or Phil?
Jordan.
Oh, no, he has enough money in the world. Come on now. But anyway.
Yeah, but he's still stingy as fuck. Yeah, I've heard stories, but that's another story. So we had this segment. It took place in the middle of the show. Adam Pearce introduces Kofi and Xavier. And all of ringside and all of the ring is set up with, like, different New Day memorabilia, different, like, classic photos of New Day. Like, one example being when Kofi won the title at WrestleMania. They have this big box of booty-os in the ring. They have the trombone. Yeah, all that shit. And then they come out, and they're kind of soft-spoken when they're talking. Like, they're not really arguing, but you could, like, definitely tell that they're about to announce that they're going to split. And, like, they alliterate, like, before they're going to make that announcement that it's not the audience's fault. And then right before they're about to say, like, what's best for the New Day right now is to split, Big E's music hit.
I bet he got a great pop.
Oh, yeah, he got a huge pop. Yeah, of course he did. And then he came out to try to talk sense into both of them, saying that it's bothered me, it's hurt my soul to see you guys argue and bicker so much. And until I'm medically cleared, I'm going to be around from now on every week serving as the manager for both of you. And yeah, it sounds good. It sounds appealing. But even though he said that and it sounded so appealing, I knew something was going to happen after that. I knew there was going to be some kind of, like, response that, you know, rejected that offer. And lo and behold, I was right. As Xavier responded to Big E saying, now you come back after we're about to literally break up. Now you decide to come back. And then Kofi added on to that saying that Big E was the one who left them.
After he got hurt.
And then Big E's like trying to explain himself, saying like couldn't wrestle. I went to multiple doctors. I tried to get it fixed, but it wasn't happening. And then Kofi and Xavier just went on to say Stone Cold Steve Austin broke his neck and he came back. Edge broke his neck and he came back. Kurt Angle broke his neck and he came back. And then Xavier went on to talk about how like he tore his Achilles and he still came back in 9 months. And then we kept our career stalled because we were waiting for you to come back and we didn't do anything for these last 2.5 years waiting for you. And what did you do? You got a desk job.
Heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, they go on to talk about how, like, you know, Big E left him for his new life, his new girlfriend, which I definitely expected them to say that too. And then they just said, like, you know what? We don't need you anymore. Get out of our ring. And you could, like, tell Big E was, like, crying and he was, like, trying to talk sense to them, saying, like, yo, really? After all we've been through together, after all this? And he tried to, like, to hug them, but they were not having it. And they just were like, yeah, go back to your desk job.
And you I knew like they were going to break up because of, you know, what was going on, you know, over the past, like, you know, few weeks or month or so between those two. But that it was very unexpected. And which doesn't make any sense to me is how both Kofi and Xavier Woods pretty much been beefing with each other for the past, like, you know, few weeks or now. All of a sudden now they're cool with each other and they turn their anger towards Big E. Weird.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. It was definitely a swerve, but it worked. The way they explained everything, how, like, Big E got hurt and left them and never came back, even though they came back from injuries. Yo, the way they played this out was dope. Yeah, this is one of the best segments between the three of them in years, and definitely the best segment of the whole night.
I agree. It's just it's heartbreaking, man. Like, we knew they were gonna break up, but not like this, man.
And Xavier even said that Big E would never be cleared and that his ass just needs to go. And as Big E left in tears, Kofi and Xavier just like high-fived each other and the crowd booed the shit out of them.
That's what I'm saying. You guys been beefing with each other for weeks, and now all of a sudden now you're like, oh, we're cool with each other now. And oh, let's blame Big E because he left us high and dry and because you had a neck injury. Come on. Oh man, that's evil, man. Evil is one word I can describe it.
Instead of Xavier, turning heel, Xavier and Kofi turned heel.
Yeah.
And like with them now being heels and like after what they did to Big E in this segment, I can't wait to see what happens next with them.
Hey, I told you this before. I've been saying this for the past, you know, couple of weeks, that this situation, you also have the potential. I don't know what's going on with the Street Profits right now, but you look at Montez for what I could, the potential I could see with him, and also with Bianca and Jade, right? Because we don't know who took out Jade Cargill. We don't know. But all I'm saying with those three factors, what I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, watch how that transition going into next year, as most of them or one of them is going to start having a place on a card in the PLE, because everybody's been complaining about it.
Yeah, that'll definitely happen. It's so funny. They've been doing this whole split between Kofi and Xavier for months, and they haven't had one PLE appearance during this whole split.
Right. But they will now. They will now. I told you, it's going to start. Changes are going to start coming, dude.
And I think considering the way this all went down, I think this is going to lead to a Big E return to the ring.
Maybe for WrestleMania?
Yep, the way they did this, and considering that they did this like in early December, I could definitely see this building to something at WrestleMania involving the three of them. Yeah, because like I said, for the last few weeks, this story has been so good, and honestly, one of the most consistent parts of Raw in the last few months, they could definitely stretch this to WrestleMania.
They'll hit a goal. They'll hit a gold mine.
Yeah, Rhea and Liv, I can't see that so much. But with this story, the way it's played out they could definitely.
And how emotional invested the fans are in it.
Yeah.
And with the possibility of Big E could come back, yeah, they'll hit a gold mine with this.
Yeah, this is a new switch up and a new change for them that they've needed for a while, honestly. And I like it. I like the way they did all of this. It wasn't what I saw coming. I thought Xavier was just going to turn on both of them. But now Xavier and Kofi as a heel team together. Ooh, I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Same.
Yeah, but great segment. And now Kofi and Xavier, the two most hated men in the company. I never thought I'd hear myself say that.
By far. It's all over social media.
I like how they've been going back and forth with Big E's girlfriend. That's just been mad funny.
I saw that.
And Xavier's like, finally, I don't have to pretend to like her bland-ass food anymore. And then her response is like, finally, I don't have to cook for a kid who has like the taste buds of a five-year-old anymore and like make different meals to appease you both.
Dang.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. Yeah, they hit a home run with this segment. For a Raw with so many great segments as we had, this was definitely the best one.
That one and that CM Punk and Rollins plus the Sami Zayn one, that oh my god. Pure cinema. That's all I have to say.
Also on Raw, we had some issues sprue up between Gunther and also Finn Balor, considering what happened in Survivor Series. They had a confrontation backstage where like Finn Balor was like demanding a title shot against Gunther because of helping him win against Damian Priest. And then Gunther was like, yo, I don't owe you anything. I didn't ask for your help. In fact, I'm mad that you interfered in the match because I wanted to prove it on my own and you took that away from me. And he said, if anything, Dominic deserves a match against me because Dominic actually beat Damian Priest. And this would set up a match later that night between Dominic and Gunther. And it's funny, Dominic actually got some cheers during this match. I heard some people chanting like Dirty Dom throughout it. Yeah, there were a few points where he actually had the advantage. He hit like Gunther with a low blow, hit him with like a 619 and hit him with a frog splash, but then Gunther obviously kicked out. Eventually Gunther did win the match, but then after the match is over, Finn Balor came out and attacked Gunther, and then he hit him with three coup de grace. And he kept constantly pointing at Dominic as he was doing it. That's how it's done. Watch and learn.
Wow.
Because they've been teasing tension between Dominic and Finn Balor over the last few weeks. And it's looking like Judgment Day, as we know it, isn't going to be around much longer.
No, it's not. But as far as for Gunther, it was announced that Gunther will be defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor on Saturday night's main event.
Yes, that's going down. It's crazy. Finn Balor's back in the title picture. I know he's not going to win that match. I don't think so. But it's cool to see him like in the title picture again. And I like how they did this.
Same here. And it's kind of just like, as a fan, I'm like, wow, you cost Damian Priest the match. And now all of a sudden you get a title shot. Oh, that just like leaves a bad taste in my mouth as a fan. No, but no. Storyline wise, I like it. I know for a fact that Damian Priest is going to interfere in that match.
Oh, goes without saying. And I think that's going to lead to a triple threat between the three of them at the first Raw on Netflix, January 6th.
Yeah, okay.
But also on Raw, we had a tag team match between Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez against Kairi Sane and Io Sky. I like Raquel Rodriguez's outfit. It's a tribute, actually, to Victoria's outfit from Survivor Series 2002.
I love all her outfits. I think one of the best outfits she ever did, she did a tribute to Selena. I forgot which event. I think it was earlier this year, though. But yeah, one of her outfits, she did a tribute to Selena. I loved it.
She could woman handle me anytime, but that's another story. So yes, we had the tag team match. And actually, before the match, it was announced that Liv Morgan will defend the Women's World title against Io Sky at Saturday night's main event. And then Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan won the match, but then afterwards they kept attacking Kairi Sane and Io Sky, and that would bring out Rhea Ripley. And as she was coming to the ring, Liv Morgan ran away, and then Rhea fought off Raquel Rodriguez. They fought outside the ring, and as Rhea had the advantage, Liv Morgan jumped on her back to try to attack her, and then Rhea knocked her into the post. But then Raquel then attacked Rhea again, and then threw her face first into the edge of the announce table.
Damn.
So it was announced that next week on Raw, it is going to be Rhea Ripley against Raquel Rodriguez. And from the way they did this, I'm kind of starting to see that maybe they're going to have Raquel and Rhea feud for a while before eventually Rhea gets the rematch with Liv, which could be on that first Raw Netflix or Royal Rumble, I think the latest. Yeah. I would say, if I had to take a guess, if they're going to have Rhea and Raquel feud for a while, I think they do the Rhea and Liv match at the Royal Rumble.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, Rhea and Raquel had some good-ass matches in NXT. I remember specifically their last Women Standing match about 4 years ago. Yo, that match was crazy.
Yeah, I think their first match may be on Saturday night's main event.
Well, Rhea and Raquel are facing each other on Raw Monday.
Oh, Monday. Okay. They're not waiting then. Okay. Wow.
So I think they're probably going to have that feud for a while, and then until Rhea and Liv have their rematch. What this is reminding me of right now, this feud, this is reminding me of when Razor Ramon was feuding with Diesel and Shawn Michaels at the same time.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get from like Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. They're like the female version of Shawn and Diesel. Especially with Liv when she comes out and like does a little dance while she holds the belt up.
Yeah.
I love her character work, son. She's been killing it.
Hey, I love it too, man. That's why I picked her as best women's wrestler of the year. So,
yeah, and also we had the further development of the IC title tournament for the women, and Dakota Kai was the very first person to advance with a win over Katana Chance and Shayna Baszler.
And I heard that the finals of the Women's United States Championship will be at Saturday Night's main event.
And the finals for the Women's Intercontinental Title Tournament will probably be at that first Raw on Netflix.
Okay.
I could see Lyra Valkyra winning the Women's IC title, but for the Women's US title, I honestly hope that Naomi wins.
Okay.
I think ever since Naomi came back earlier this year, she's been featured and she's been doing moderately well, but she's like never won that big match since she came back. So I hope she wins this one.
Okay.
Also, it came out today and it's been confirmed by multiple different publications that The Rock is probably not wrestling at WrestleMania.
And yet you're going to charge your fans a lot of money for a ticket.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a ticket thing in general. I don't think it's just a WWE thing, because even for that J. Cole Forest Hills Drive 10-year anniversary concert that they're doing at the Garden, the cheapest tickets are $300 for like the nosebleed section.
Not too bad.
Yeah, it's still pretty crazy. But yeah, The Rock not being on WrestleMania, I think it is a disappointment, because I think they're still you know, a story to be told between him and Cody, also between him and Roman. I mean, this could all be hearsay, but if he's not implemented in the plans by January, I highly suggest they move on to something else. So with the way it's looking now, I think it'll be maybe Cody and Randy Orton at WrestleMania if Rock can't make it.
Oh, my God. That's the one match I would love to see. Oh, my God. So many years, history in the making. I would love that.
Yeah, they could tell a great story with that. That'll be like the best feud Cody's been in since he's been champion. Although the Kevin Owens stuff has been pretty good. I would say the Kevin Owens stuff has been the best feud he's been in since the feud with Brock Roman. But I think a feud with him and Randy Orton and telling that story at WrestleMania
will feed families, Kurt. It'll feed families. WrestleMania is on a potent.
Their families are already.
No, not his family. I'm talking about just families in general. All the families, okay? But Kurt, with WrestleMania on the horizon, this WrestleMania has the potential to hit a gold mine, hit a grand slam. Think about the matches that we could possibly could get. CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton. Potentially Big E coming back in this whole New Day situation.
Bron Breakker and Sheamus. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill.
Ooh.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless, bro.
And then I don't know where does leave Roman Reigns at though, but hey,
that's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Maybe him and Jacob Fatu.
Maybe. Yeah.
Could be a direction they go in.
Yeah. It just sucks that The Rock is not going to be involved, because if he was involved, you could easily, you know, maybe do Roman versus Rock, as some people are predicting. That's if they continue to do, if they plan on doing Cody versus Orton.
Yeah, but like I said, this is still kind of still hearsay. I feel like by January, we will know for sure whether or not The Rock is going to be around for WrestleMania. If The Rock is not at that first Raw on Netflix in January, I think it's a wrap. I think he's not going to be involved.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to Nick Khan, WWE's programming is going to remain PG even when they do move to Netflix.
Boo. It's still going to be family friendly. Boo.
Hey, look, the way the product's been the last 2 years, I'm not mad.
It's different. Yeah, I know. Because everybody's expecting, you know, when they come back, oh, they're going to go, you know, TV 14 or, you know, TV MA. I was like, wait, TV MA? No. They can't. No. On Netflix? No.
It's a product.
Maybe TV 14.
If the product can stay as good as it's been the last 2 years, I'm not mad. It's all good. They can maybe make a few things edgy here and there, give us blood in a match every once in a while. But as long as it stays as good as it's been, yo, it's all good.
Yeah.
I don't want it to go back to the guest host of Raw days. Yeah, that chicken.
Oh, please. Oh, just anything about 2009 and 2010 was just bad. Okay. Trash. Nothing. I don't want to relive that. Nothing.
Understood. Yeah, but hopefully sooner or later, whenever his contract's up, we'll see Ricky Starks in AEW, because he actually did an interview with Chris Van Vliet recently, and he was talking about the fact that he's cleared. He can wrestle, like he doesn't have any injuries, but for whatever reason, Tony Khan just hasn't been using him. Yeah, he hasn't been on TV in like over 6 months.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah, apparently maybe the reason why this is happening is because he made it clear that he wasn't going to re-sign with them when his contract expired. So to get back at him or to like hurt his like stock, they've been keeping him off TV. It's possible.
Well, I don't know. We got to fix it fast, though, because he has that and still has to work on the attendance, so...
Yeah, and also Ricky Starks even opened up about the fact that he got a lot of shit from certain people in AEW backstage, because he was backstage with Cody at the Royal Rumble last year, and then like some dude came up to him like saying, "Were you at the Rumble last night?" He's like, "Yeah, what's your point?" And he's like, "I'm just saying it's not a good look." Yeah, the dude has the right to go visit his friend even if his friend works for an opposing company.
Thank you.
Fuck out of here. AEW's backstage issues definitely seem like they need a lot of work. Like, just from that being one example and just seeing what the product's become now. Like, bro, I haven't watched a full episode of Dynamite pretty much in 3 months.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't even recognize Dynamite anymore. Like, when I put on Dynamite, when I watch parts of it, I don't even recognize it anymore.
I see. Can you blame you?
It's not funny, man. It's not even funny. That's the thing. It's not even funny. It's sad.
I know, but it's just like, I know, but it's just like, damn. Like, the attendance, come on, man.
Well, they're at least moving in the right direction where they're gonna like start running smaller arenas. Man, and also their Grand Slam show they were gonna do in Australia, they moved it from a big stadium to a smaller arena.
Mm.
WrestleMania 7 vibes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, madness. But my brother, is there anything else you'd like to get into tonight?
No, that'll be all. Saturday night's main event is the 14th, correct? December 14th? Yes.
Next Saturday at the Nassau Coliseum, an arena I have not been to since 1998.
Can't wait. Can't wait for it. If you do go, record those videos and send them to me so I can post them, man, so you can show everybody that you're at the event. But yeah, I can't wait for Saturday night's main event. I'm also going to be looking forward because our second edition of our Back in Time segment will be coming up soon as me and Kurt will travel back in time, this time to December of 2000 as we review Armageddon 2000. I can't wait for that. And also, you know, later on, we'll be talking about what happened at Saturday night's main event and also best of 2024 year in review. So there's so many things we're going to be getting into before the year ends. And that's all I got to say about that.
Yes. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you guys enjoyed yourselves. Hope you guys enjoyed Survivor Series and also Raw this past Monday. I definitely enjoyed Raw. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
I had like a 96% approval rating.
Oh, I bet. This year has really been great. So
yeah, it has been. It's definitely delivered in more ways than one. So yeah, look out for the whole situation involving the New Day. Also the Punk and Rollins situation. Drew McIntyre being back. The Cody and... Kevin Owens stuff, the Roman and Solo Sikoa stuff is still not over. Also, how Paul Heyman gets involved in all this. Yeah, there is a lot to dive into in wrestling over these next few weeks and months.
Mm-hmm. 2025 is on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen. So we're kind of like we're seeing the glimpse of everything but we're about to see. So can't wait for that.
Me either. So for John Randall, this is Conscious Kurt with another edition of the Clash of Champions. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your week. And remember, especially during the holidays, don't be an asshole or a douchebag in real life or social media because that toxic bullshit is for the birds.
And ladies and gentlemen, stay safe, stay blessed, be safe during the holidays, and always be cool.
Peace.